Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So, it's going to be Justin Fields on Sunday. Matt Nagy has not addressed that yet. And as you look at the team, it's going to be a totally different style of game plan. And yesterday, you heard from a number of players, including a guy that I just love that he's here. Look, his career has been amazing. He's 39 years old, but it's Jason Peters. And he just said, hey, man, we just weren't ready for the kid. It's not as easy as maybe we all, I know I have said, move the pocket, roll him. It's not that easy. You put a game plan in for a more stationary, I believe he called it climb the pocket guy in Andy Dalton. And then you got a guy in Justin Fields who's a totally different style quarterback. And he's running the scout team.
Yeah, I guess my question is, Cap, is that when you have a certain set of plays ready for Justin Fields, whether it's going to be 6, 9, 12, from every indication that we had, Justin Fields is going to have more time in game 2 than he had in game 1, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is that if you know that there's going to be a certain section of plays, whether he gets 10% of the snaps, 5% of the snaps, the offensive line and the first unit has to be ready because Justin's going to be out there with, quote-unquote, the ones in a regular season game. So I'm thinking that they should have something prepared. Yeah, you don't have two game plans, but if you have a certain section of plays, don't you have that ready? I mean, you can't be caught off guard.
Don't disagree with you. And so I asked some people who played in the league, and they said, it's not as easy as you think it. I don't mean you, as we all think it is, because they've got him. First of all, they said the number one guy gets the lion's share of the reps. Mm-hmm. Justin gets the next chunk, and Nick Foles gets like two. So he said it's not as easy when you have a blocky scheme set up and a game plan for Andy Dalton, and all of a sudden now we want you to roll out, we want you to do this. They said this week will be a different set of plays. It will be tailored to what Justin Fields does.
And I wonder what that is. To me, it's, I guess, the offensive line has to come together and say, okay, this kid might have to roll out. We have to block a certain way. It's a different blocking scheme. If you're the wide receivers, you have to make sure you're still in place. I don't know how much that changes. It's not like the 10 yards and in like the Rams game. You still got to be able to run your routes, right? Mooney, by the way, we did not mention this the first couple of shows here. Mooney, once again, is showing terrific route running. Mm-hmm. That was really the hallmark of what he was able to provide last year. Crisp route running. And it's not just from the eye test. It's when you go to Pro Football Focus, they say the same thing. So they see what we see, and they say, boy, that guy runs a really quality route.
Correct.
And so that, so I guess, Cap, for just the regular fan like me, I'm just trying to figure out, like, how much more game planning do you have to do with Justin Fields than you do with Andy Dalton? Like, how much more? Because if you already got the package ready, then the players know what to do. Okay, Justin's in, so we have to block differently. Justin's in. Okay, so we might not get the football. We may have to go deep. We might have to go intermediate. Whatever the game plan is, that should already be in place on one of those pages of the book, right?
Correct. And when Matt was on with us on the show, when we were up at Buttermilk, I believe he was on, and he said, oh, we have a package of plays we've designed for Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that that package of plays is in the playbook, but it's not in the game plan? That's a valid question.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But you believe that Justin Fields will get the start no matter what against Cleveland?
I believe he will. I don't see any scenario where Andy Dalton starting. If he truly has a bone bruise, as we said on Monday,
yeah,
we read the NFL doc and there were some other, and then Rappaport said, yes, he's got a bone bruise. If he's got a bone bruise, I don't see any way he plays.
Here's how we'll know. Which quarterback will speak today at Howell's Hall?
Right. Andy, Danny, you haven't gotten an update. Last update was the one you read on the air yesterday that Andy Dalton speaks at 11:45.
Correct. Nothing's been changed since then. Today, the Bears will issue their first injury report because they're back to practice. So then we'll know the official status of Andy Dalton.
Right. The way the Bears operate, Andy will speak and not start.
Right, but today the injury report yeah. will say did not practice, resting veteran day, limited. Or you know, he's not on the report. They won't have to list him as a questionable, doubtful, or out. He is, or probable.
Right.
He is. That's not till Friday, I believe.
Believe that is correct.
So we will at least know if he practiced today. If he doesn't practice today, I do not see any scenario he's starting on Sunday. I just don't.
I don't think they have to announce whether he's playing or not till Sunday when they list the actives and inactives.
That's correct. I think today and tomorrow it will be a did not practice. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Friday it will be either probable, questionable, doubtful, or out.
Man, it's just, I guess if Justin Fields starts and he moves forward as a starter, maybe the heat will be off of Matt Nagy somewhat, right? Because every time we come in here, that's the number one story, not just on the radio show, but on the television shows as well. Justin Fields is smart enough to know that he's got a long way to go before he's that quality pro. We already hear on the phone lines that you could tell that there are people that are Justin Fields fans, even more so than Bears fans. They're hoping for the good things for the future, number one. But the other thing is, too, is that there's going to be growing pains. And I'm okay with it, by the way. I'm patient. Look, I've been a Bears fan all my life. Of course I'm patient enough to wait, Cap. I'm patient enough to wait to see exactly what Justin can do. And there's no slight to Andy Dalton, too, because we talked about Andy Dalton in the IDOT bullpen. And he likes to remind you.
IDOT reminds you that driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. Who lowered the monitor again?
And by the way, that's a fine.
Dude, that's three times in the last. You did it twice in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday and once already in the 7 o'clock hour today. How do you forget to turn on your microphone, man?
No, I turned it off because I was typing something and I didn't want it to hear the clack, clack, clack of the keys. Forgot to turn it on. Then I'm like, oh, God, I have to stand up again. Yesterday, it was so nice. The monitor was raised up. I just stood here and read like a normal person instead of being a shorter person.
So no booster seat for you?
No. Today I need one.
By the way, that's $3 to berniesbookbank.org.
Yes, we'll be walking tomorrow. We are over $100,000.
You bring money today? Does Mindy have it today? She's always in your money.
She is always in my money. Yeah, I have three singles.
Oh, tuck a buck.
There you go. Twitch, take a look at that.
There you go. Berniesbookbank.org is that's where you can make your donation.
Yes, I will be walking tomorrow.
Tell me about the website of that, by the way. Walk as one?
Walk as one Chicago. So I believe it's .org.
Got it.
So Walk as one Chicago, you can find it on Google. We will be walking to raise money for a group that does amazing work. They've distributed over 20 million books to underserved boys and girls in the area.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, 25 miles, every stadium in town.
And my friend has already donated $3 in the last couple of days.
Take that.
So we had this game coming up on Sunday as an L for the Bears, no matter who the quarterback was. But boy, this will be a learning curve again for Justin Fields. He will clean up the issues that he had in week two. And I'm hoping that it just gets better moving forward. I don't know about the ball club, but I know that I believe, will get better moving forward.
So the game on Sunday, Justin Fields' numbers, if you just were a stat head, or what do you like to say when I go back to when we're having fun and I go back to the numbers and you give me a hard time?
I don't know what I say.
Oh, yeah. It's something about it. Go back to the box score, whatever it is that you say to me.
Yes.
Justin Fields' numbers, 6 of 13 with an interception and a passer rating that was less than stellar, 27.7, and a QBR of just 4.4, and an interception at a key spot that almost cost you the game. So you look at those numbers and you go, he wasn't very good. Well, Dan Orlovsky, who played in the National Football League for 11 years, Dan Orlovsky broke down every play from the game. He watches the film. He sees things that we don't. This is Dan Orlovsky, a Justin Fields performance. I think you're going to be very, very surprised to hear what he says.
And I thought it'd be cool to do this with Justin Fields and the Bears after watching the tape again, was to bring everybody a little bit behind the curtains into a quarterback room after the game. A lot of coaching staffs, what they do is you watch the tape and there's this grading scale, plus or minus, so to speak, and you can grade the individual performance of every player. With Justin, it would be grading plus and minus the decision-making both in the pass game and the run game. And it would really be, for me, when, where, and how when it came to throwing the football. First of all, the protections. He threw the ball 13 times. On those 13 plays, I had 13 or 13 pluses when it came to the protections, without knowing the exact details of what their plan was. The when or the where with the football. Did you go on those 13 throws? Did you go to the right place? I had 11 out of 13 plays were pluses. I thought he missed a shallow cross to Jimmy Graham in the fourth quarter, down on like the 5-yard line, about 6:45 to go in the fourth quarter. Misses a shallow cross and kicks it out to Montgomery. I thought he could have put it right on his chest and maybe getting into the end zone. And then the interception. Now, where to go with that football? All out pressure. You got another shallow cross and you think, great, he's going to win. Easy completion. Someone pops from inside the line of scrimmage you think is a blitzer and drops out. That's a negative. Those are my two negatives on where to go with the football. The interception is something you just have to experience. You don't anticipate that happening. That's a game plan thing. This team does this. We're not going to throw the ball over the middle of the field versus zero pressure. When? Did you wait for guys to get open? The anticipation, the timing of the throws. I, again, had a 10 out of 13 when it came to pluses. I thought he took an extra hitch on a stop route to Allen Robinson. I thought he took an extra hitch on the go route to Allen Robinson. Beautiful ball that should get caught. Now, the 10 out of 13 pluses is a big deal to me because that's really good. It's also something that Justin, you know, often in college waited for guys to get open. He's not doing that so far in the NFL, certainly through 2 weeks. Couple out routes to the field, the crossing route to Mooney. Those were thrown at the right time. So 10 out of 13. And how? You know, hey, do you need more touch on this ball? Should you drive it more? I had 12 out of 13 pluses. So grading scale-wise, pass game, I would have had a bunch of pluses. He ran the ball 10 times. I had pluses on 9 out of those 10s. Again, without the zone read details. Really good performance by Justin Fields.
There you go. Really good performance by Justin Fields. When I hear that, and, you know, we all had a problem, all of us, legitimately so, with the interception. He said that's something you just have to experience. They're showing zero blitz, and all of a sudden, oh, God, that linebacker's not where I thought he was supposed to be. Bam! It's going the other way.
Now, here's something I can pull out of there. There's a number of things I could pull out of what Dan said. Let me just point this out. Whether it's Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Oklahoma, Iowa, whatever, he talked about in college, he could just wait for his receivers to get open.
Correct.
See the difference between college and the pros?
Offensive line in the country.
But those are, well, what I just mentioned to you is that you got a number of those college quarterbacks that have time. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi. Okay, he's open now, right? In the NFL, bam! You got to be able to get that ball out quickly.
Correct.
You know, there's some good offensive lines in the NFL, but they're not going to hold it up for you for 5 seconds.
No chance.
Like it is in college.
Correct.
See the difference there?
Yeah.
So it's about timing in his head. For Justin Fields.
It's also a difference when it's the Minnesota pass rush, Gophers.
Yeah.
Versus Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Row your boat.
Row your boat. We'll get to your calls on this, 312-332-3776. It is a sad, sad day for some of us. Or is it? Some of you would love it. We'll tell you why and debate that next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
720, pour yourself your first, your second, your third cup of coffee. If you're on three, you might want to go to decaf. Slow down a little bit.
You're listening to Radio 720.
Wow.
You listen to the radio, and it's 720.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Anyway, we were in our meeting today, and our opening drive is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Season and single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
In the I-Dot bullpen.
Yeah, I already read that, and I'm not inflaming my calves again.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Help me.
We were in the I-Dot bullpen having our morning meeting, and Danny said it's the saddest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because today at what time, Danny? 2-something?
2:21.
2:21 this afternoon, fall officially arrives.
I thought someone died, and they got quiet in the room.
Very quiet.
And I thought, oh, something happened, something sad in his family. No. It's just the weather changing.
Correct.
It's the end of summer. I mean, you got a phrase. It is a summer's officially over, folks.
Well, first of all, Danny, you have summer over on July 5th.
Oh,
well, yeah, you're not wrong. July 4th to me is a sad day.
Oh, because you know it's coming, right?
Yeah, you know what? One of the another sad day for me on the weather calendar.
What's
the
that?
Longest day of the year. You know when the sun's out the longest?
June 20th. That's
yeah,
my dad's birthday.
Because now I know the sun's going down sooner and sooner every
sakes.
Night.
Right.
If you live in Minnesota, though, it doesn't go down until 9.
It's awesome. I did live in Minnesota.
8:58, 8:59. Like, hey, the sun's still out.
So Danny and I we're kindred spirits on this, and my wife. Mm-hmm. Like, my wife thinks 79 degrees and sunny is a cool day.
I see.
Your perfect day is 75.
75 and sunny.
Meller's perfect day, I think I'm going to guess. I know how he thinks. What is it, like 62?
69.
60. Okay, great.
Nice.
Nice.
Thank you.
He's
I got you on the back end this time.
You always do, Hoodie.
living his best life, Meller.
Legit, it is my favorite temperature. I mean, yeah. It's not even a bit.
Yep. He loves to go to the... Never mind, I'm not going to say
what's
it.
What's that?
Never mind.
He likes the what?
I'm not going to say.
What's that?
Hoodie, you going to be solo tomorrow or you want Hanley?
I have something I'm going to say in my head.
Yeah.
It may not be popular.
Cap, how could you have said that? Well, I didn't say it three times. Mike, rule. You could say it. Just don't say it three times.
I understand Danny, and I understand where he's coming from when he feels some, you know, personal depression knowing that summer's over because he thrives on the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Because his heart beats the best when it's hot and it's sunny. Mm-hmm. I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why he's relentless against ABC7's Tracy Butler. Relentless. Always on her for the 7-day forecast.
Same here. I'm like, you're better than that, Butler.
Like it's her fault. It's not her fault. Listen, for me personally, I'm built for the summer and the fall, right? Winter and spring, to me, it's the same, especially in this city.
See, if
we don't get spring like other cities get spring.
No, we don't. But if you tell me it's February, I said to Danny, would you rather have it be September 22nd, where it's going to be in the 60s today?
Sure.
I think this weekend's back in the 70s. If it's September 22nd or February 22nd. And Danny's answer was?
February.
100%. 100% February.
Thank you. And for someone like Danny and I who love heat, you'd be like, well, wait a minute. It's going to be in the 70s this weekend. Why would you want February when it might be 70 below? Because I know what's coming.
I know it's coming, too, on February 22nd. Snow and below, you know, below 5 or 0 temperatures.
But guess what?
That sucks.
I could turn on TV and go, spring training baseball's on. And
not yet.
In February?
Late February?
Yes. They start camp at February 15th. I used to cover it every year. Feb 15, they're in Arizona playing.
You've lived through the worst of the winter.
I'm through.
You're on the other side.
January and February. Because December, whatever, it's cold. It's the holidays.
Not in this town, man. I think in February, you still have a chance of snow. It's still cold. And I don't see the first spring training game until maybe late February, early March.
Okay.
They'll be on the radio for sure, right?
Right. Right, yeah. Here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. So I know on February 22nd, all right, it's cold out. I got to bundle up. But guess what? In a week, it's going to be March. Now I got March Madness. Then I know opening day's coming. Then I know the Masters. And get out of my way, summer's coming.
That is asinine.
It's still chilly.
February is the worst month of the, in terms of season. Oh, it's the worst in Chicago.
The worst is October, because I know what's right around the corner like a brick in the face.
That's absurd. Right, because October you actually feel the change. Like, you've got a couple 70s, a couple high 70s. Like, October 10th is still decent. Then all of a sudden, Halloween comes and you get smacked in the face and it's freezing.
My wife and I were on a drive yesterday. We were taking care of something. And my wife turned and she goes, "That's a horrible scene right there." I'm like, "What?" I was watching Billions. She was driving. I was on my iPad watching Billions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What?" And she said, "The trees are all changing." She goes, "Give me the green trees. I don't want all these fall colors." I'm like, "Preach, preach."
Well, Peacock and I got married in the fall. You know this, right? We got married in November. We got married in the fall. The reason why we got married on November 4th is so I can remember it's NBA season.
Wow.
She doesn't know that, but that's the reason why I picked the date. How about that day? That sounds good. That might be a doubleheader on TNT. Like, correct. That's, and when I get old, at least I can remember that. November 4th, NBA season, that's when I enter. So I don't mind the fall. I have no problem with the summer. Obviously, who doesn't love the summer, right? And I have no problem with the fall, because the fall, I can still get some of those warm temperatures. But I'm not built for the cold. And neither is Danny, by the way. I'm not built for that. Not anymore. I used to. As they get older, though, it's like, this sucks.
Danny believes, Bruce Jenner say, "I'm trapped in the wrong body"? Danny is trapped in the wrong city. Like, he loves Chicago, but Danny was meant to be a guy who grew up in Arizona, Texas, California, Florida.
That's where you're supposed to be,
Mexico.
Right, Danny?
100%. I was not meant to be here.
Do you talk to Sven about that every now and then?
Yeah. What was he going to do? I mean, the guy gives away my golf clubs and my trading cards. The hell with what you want, kid. That'll be his answer.
Your response to him, you couldn't buy a dry cleaning business in Scottsdale?
Right.
He's more like you, Hoodie. He likes fall. He likes winter. He hates summer and he hates being hot. He was born in Sweden. I mean, come on.
No, I like summer and fall. I'm not, and to me, winter and spring. You tell me if I'm wrong, Jeff. It feels like to me that winter and spring are the same in this city.
I think that is absolutely accurate. And when you look at what's happening globally, I mean, were you guys not here last Sunday? It was like 93 degrees in the suburbs.
It was amazing.
It was
incredible.
Yeah. So, like, get ready for some warm weather coming in October. Like, what happens is it's drastic. All of a sudden, you're going to go from 90 to, like, Hoodie and I love this weather because we might be lucky to get 2-3 weeks of 70 and 60. Before we know it, it's going to be 40 and 30 and snowing.
There's a guy named James Nicolantonio. Danny, you follow him on Twitter. He puts out his favorite prescription for a healthy lifestyle.
What's his name?
James Nicolantonio.
If that's really his last name.
Oh, absolutely.
What an eye chart that is.
His favorite prescription for a healthy, happy life: sunlight.
Yes.
Sleep.
Yes.
Diet, exercise, meditation, and sit in a sauna.
Yes.
Sunlight, he said, is one of the most crucial things for your health. And I don't know about you, but Mellor would take it gray like this every day.
No, I like the sun. I have no problem with the sun. I just don't want it beating down on me while I'm sweating when I walk out the door.
My late mother liked it like 48. Oh, this is delicious. I'm like, delicious?
That's what she liked, right? She liked what she liked. You
the
know?
Worst.
But keep in mind, let's make sure that we put it on the record here. Mellor also likes the fall because he's wearing a windbreaker like in the summer all the time.
Right.
He's got the Colorado windbreaker on.
He does.
Just in case it gets a little chilly in the studio.
You got to have a fleece.
JR, can I use your line?
Yes.
Fall or spring?
You have to look to the heavens because we don't know where JR is.
And that's spring. Wait, no. Because if you frame it that way, you were asking February 21st February 22nd versus September 22nd. February 22nd in Chicago, weather-wise, is the worst.
Now put that on the poll. What would you rather live through, February 22nd or September 22nd?
And you have to give people context.
JR, put that on wherever you are.
Put that on the poll.
Put that on the poll, please.
You just have to understand that JR. On September 22nd, you see that light down there? Like I told you, the Cubs sell-off was coming a year ago.
Yes.
That light that's coming there, that's the train that's carrying winter weather, going to smack you right in the face. In February, that light that's right down there, it's 87 degrees.
It seems like that'll be in May, Memorial Day. And even the Memorial Day weather is not great either sometimes. I have to just wait until June. And it's Chicago. This is the way it is, man. This is weird weather all the time.
You guys ever see that show, Life Below Zero?
Yes.
Where those people live in the Arctic Circle.
Insane.
And in the summer, they say it's warm because it's 30 degrees.
Oh, God.
How the hell would anybody choose to do that?
I don't get it. I don't get people that like cold weather.
You guys realize on February 22nd, there's above 50% chance it's going to be below zero in Chicago.
See, I think you're confusing what Cap's saying. He's not saying he prefers the weather on that specific day. I think he prefers what it represents. That day represents we've made it through the crap, what sucks about this city, and we're on the other side.
You haven't made it through the crap. You are sitting in the crap on February 22nd.
I understand, but September 22nd means the crap is coming at us full speed ahead.
Exactly right, Danny.
I'm fine with it. Because I know that the bad weather will be after Thanksgiving.
Let me ask you a question.
Christmas.
Rest of your life, mm-hmm. however long the good Lord blesses all of us to be alive.
JR.
And healthy and happy.
Yes.
You can have it 48 degrees every day or 98 degrees every day.
98 degrees every day.
Nobody's choosing 48 unless you're on life below zero. Nobody. Miller's not either.
I guarantee you there are
extreme.
Lunatics
if
out
you
there.
Said 68 degrees or 98 degrees, I think people would choose 68, but 48's just cold.
That's correct. Especially the wind conditions around here in the Windy City.
Okay, 50. 50 and 100.
Oh, that two extra degrees made such a difference, Cap. Wow.
Thank you, the super. He's the superintendent. I'll put in a couple of natchez. Two more degrees. How about 50? Click, 50 degrees.
50 take or that. 100?
100.
I'll take the 100. Yeah. There's a lot of people that hate it.
Yeah.
I'll
take the 100.
312-332-3776. We'll discuss that and one of the most wild scenes ever at Wrigley last night.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. That is next.
Take that.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Zetterman, Jeff Miller, J.R. Strauss, I'm David Kaplan. We're here every weekday morning, 7 until 10. And if you want to participate in the show, 312-332-3776. My phone's blowing up. I got all these texts from friends of mine. My buddy Rico. In doses, I'll take a little heat, but no way, no how. Give me 48 degrees all day long. I got a bunch of them that don't like the heat, so...
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. I'm just going to not walk around with a windbreaker 365 days a year. That's nonsense. You're wearing a coat. So every time you go outside, you got to wear an overcoat or some kind of jacket. Mm-hmm. Not going to do that.
No shot.
You love the freedom of being able to just walk around in a shirt and shorts.
It's the
right?
best.
You can't do that in 48 degrees. So I would rather be in the heat than to walk around with a jacket. Every like I'm in Alaska. Like there's a break in Alaska in the summer where you can. It's not hot, but you can wear a jacket, mm-hmm. right? Otherwise, it's a heavy overcoat. I'm gonna deal with that.
And you and I have both been to Alaska.
Yes, we have.
Yep,
spent a week there.
I played golf. We teed off at 10:30 at night. So weird. So weird. My brother-in-law and I. So weird.
I actually was in the movie Insomnia apparently because. It was just I was there in the winter for the Top of the World Classic that UIC was involved in. 1 hour of daylight. It was out at 1 o'clock.
Awful.
Didn't know what time it was. Yeah. It was weird.
It's like being in a casino all the time. You have no idea what time it is.
I say, boy, you got a lot of big snow banks here. I was asking one of the natives, and he says, yes. You know, my friends, after drinking, sometimes they just kind of fall in the snow bank. We don't find them until the spring.
Wow. It's insane.
Outside the bars. It's like, oh, there's Joe. Keep shoveling. You might find more. Fall in the snowbank drunk. Like, where? What happened to Joe? He's just gone, man.
Gone.
It's like, and then you get the melt and the thaw.
Yeah, it's like May.
Then you see him. There's Joe. Oh, jeez.
There he was.
All right, roll him up.
Wish I would have known. Anyway, last night at Wrigley,
yeah,
Conor McGregor threw out the first pitch. First of all, if you're dressed to go to a baseball game, I don't know why he was in town. There's not a big event.
I have no idea why he's here.
There's no UFC. There's no MMA. There's no AEW wrestling.
No,
nothing.
No.
He's there, and he's going to throw out the first pitch. He's dressed in this very tight-fitting suit.
Always suited and booted, that guy.
Always.
Always.
Always. But if you've got the kind of tattoos that he's got, don't you want to show him off in a setting like that?
Nope. The octagon. Only in the octagon.
And he does his little strut.
Right. Yeah. So in other words, in his mindset, Cap, if you want to see my tattoos and see my body, you got to pay for it.
Correct.
On pay-per-view.
That's it.
That's it.
Call right here.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up on Xfinity.
That's right.
So he steps to the mound throughout the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor McGregor from Marquee had a funny tweet. Oh, it's bring your cousin to work night. Which was cool because they share the same last name, but they're not related.
Yes.
And that may have been like 50 Cent. There's a handful that have just been horrifically bad.
Mm-hmm.
This one was brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't miss home plate by more than that dude did.
Now, here's my thought. Danny, he did it on purpose.
I have that exact thing you're saying in shot or no shot.
He did it on purpose. And here's look, I understand how you can miss. Like 50 Cent was way to the left, and Dr. Fauci's throw was terrible. I mean, there's a number of them, right?
Right.
I mean, none of them are going to be President Bush after 9/11. Just understand, like, no one's going to throw a strike like that.
Do you ever see the 30 for 30 on that?
I saw it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So no one's going to do that, but Conor McGregor, for clicks, did that on purpose. Now, he wasn't trying to throw to, is that Wisdom back there?
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't trying to throw to the target. He flung it. Do you see how his shoulder? He flung it, trying to throw it out of the stadium.
Almost got to the Cubs dugout.
He's trying to do that on purpose. That's what I believe.
100%. We're talking about it today. Yesterday, if you watch SportsCenter, Buchegrass used a telestrator to telestrate it. I mean, he's getting national attention for this. I had it in shot or no shot, which I won't do now, but 100% shot. He did that on purpose just for all this attention.
Yep, did it. Absolutely. No one misses that badly, Cap. Not athlete, non-athlete, no one does it that badly. You've seen the misses, right? All right, a little bit too far to the left, too far to the right. I get that. But to be able to shot put it the way he did from the left side and is throwing it against the screen. He did it on purpose, and he laughed about it. It wasn't because if he did it by mistake, it would have been some embarrassment. Like, oh, geez, I'm sorry. I messed up, right? He laughed about it. He told the rubber. He knew it, which is amazing. He knows about American baseball.
Correct.
He told the rubber.
Like a pitcher.
Didn't take off his jacket and just flung it like a clown.
And by the way, how muscled up is that dude?
Yeah. Well, when you got the tailored suit, you know, everything is accentuated, right? Everything is big on him, right?
I mean.
Cap. You've never seen anyone throw it like that poorly, right? There's been some.
It was almost like, so he's a lefty, first of all.
Yeah.
It was almost like, and if you're on Twitch, you could see me, he went into the motion, but he never really bent his arm much, and he flung it.
Yeah. Did that on purpose. Absolutely. Being a clown, he did that on purpose.
Because
he knew that would trend.
Because if he throws it and it's just right down the middle to Patrick Wisdom, I was like, oh, that was cool, Conor McGregor. Move on. But because it was so epically bad, he's getting millions of dollars of free PR today.
Absolutely.
Every show talking about it.
Absolutely. So. I think that is it. Oh, we forgot about Carly Rae Jepsen. She threw it into the ground. She had two pitches to try to do it. She threw it directly into the ground. So, and I think actually, Danny, you should know this from 2009. Baba Booey actually had the worst. Have you ever seen this?
Oh, my, have I seen it? Yeah. I watch it almost every day.
The executive producer of the Howard Stern Show.
By the way, Baba Booey's all over that Mets documentary I told you guys about.
Big Met guy, right?
Yes, that documentary, four parts, is amazing.
So, I mean, there's been a lot of bad ones, but that one there, Conor wanted to be the number one guy on that because he knew that people would say, oh, my God, look at McGregor. He laughed at himself. It wasn't, because usually you get the embarrassment, like, oh, my God, I can't believe I threw it. I'm so sorry. No sorry. Not sorry.
Right. He's in his hotel suite in Chicago last night going, see all the PR we're getting?
Absolutely. Did that on purpose. No question.
100%. All right. What would you do if I sang out of tune? That is next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
It seems like every movie that comes out now, every TV show, is a remake of something else.
Yes.
And Danny's all triggered about the Wonder Years. I never saw the Wonder Years. I knew who Fred Savage was.
Yes.
But it wasn't a big deal to me. And now they're remaking it. It's not Fred Savage, obviously, anymore. The family is now a black family, correct?
Oh, my God. Clutch my pearls.
How is it possible that you never watched the original Wonder Years?
I didn't.
You know what?
Dude, I didn't watch Friends.
That's an all-time classic. Now, what were you doing in 1998 that you didn't have a half hour to watch the Wonder Years at least once in your life?
Wait. Working.
Wait, 88, right? Yes. 88.
It came out in 1988.
You said 98. Yeah, 88.
In 88, he's just working.
I'm in the NBA, man. I'm scouting.
It was on the road from 88 to 93. You didn't have 30 minutes between 88 to 93.
No. I was scouting in the NBA, and, I don't know, I didn't have my iPhone with me at the time or my iPad or my
laptop. Oh, that's
such
a crap excuse. Jim Boeheim was coaching in 1988. I bet you he's seen it. Coach K was coaching in 1988. I bet you he saw it. Bill Self was coaching in 1988. I bet you he saw it. That's a cop-out excuse. It's so easy.
I was too busy. I'm so busy. Dude, I'm in lacrosse seeing the Catbirds in the CBA. I'm off to Sioux City, Iowa. Rapid City, South Dakota.
Cap was in the Catbird seat.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Hell's yeah.
I watched it. So 88, I'm a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I watched it. And I know that you did too as a younger guy, Zed. I know you watched this.
Oh my God, I loved it. It was one of my favorite shows ever. Who wasn't in love with Whitney?
Who's that? That
was his neighbor, his best friend.
So I saw Jason Hervey in this as well, along with Fred Savage. Those are two guys that appealed to me the most watching that show. And, of course, Jason Hervey came into being a good actor and a pretty good producer after that.
So now it's a remake.
Yeah, and let's make sure this is very clear, too. There are no new ideas, very few new ideas on network TV. Mm-hmm. Very few, right?
Correct.
And so this is why, I mean, the show that Serge the Entertainer is on is really a kind of a remake of The Honeymooners in some ways. And I'm not The Honeymooners, I'm sorry. All in the Family, I should say. I mean, it's kind of like that. And so there are no new ideas.
Well, The Honeymooners is a ripoff of The Flintstones.
That's correct. There are no new ideas.
Correct.
So
no, it's flipped. The Flintstones were modeled after The Honeymooners.
Really?
Honeymooners was in the 50s? Is that in the 60s? I think it's a similar time, as a matter of fact, right?
Pretty sure the cartoon was modeled after the Honeymooners.
But I mean, they were identical.
But you would agree, Jeff, that there are really not a lot of on network TV. Now, this where you get the original stuff, and this is why people are so addicted to Netflix or Amazon Prime, because there's new ideas there. There's new innovations in television.
Well, it's so hard for traditional television, I think, to cut through to actually make an impact. I'll tell you what. I watched Wonder Years growing up. I enjoyed it. Generally, not too many network television shows pique my interest. This one, though, because I did grow up on the Wonder Years, I'm intrigued, and I think I will actually probably go out of my way to check out the first couple episodes to see if I like it at all. And most network comedies, you know, outside of Randy Merkin, I don't know too many people in this building who make, you know, network television appointment. Listen, you like HBO? Yes, I will watch. Something that's, you know, being talked about on social media about Netflix or Amazon Prime, I'll check it out. Network TV, I haven't really been interested in like for 10 years now.
I understand. I mean, nothing's really original. I mean, Black-ish becomes Old-ish. It becomes this-ish, that-ish. I mean, they made a franchise out of it. That's just one particular thing. Like, again, they will run something in the ground if they have just a modicum of success.
Okay, so The Honeymooners was... How many years do you think The Honeymooners aired? Because it's a great show.
No more than 5 years. I believe 5 years is max.
1 year.
Oh, it was 1 year.
1955... October 1, 55, and it was over in September of 56.
They cranked out how many episodes of that, though? Because I know they were relentless.
They were relentless. I want to say there's like 38. I used to be able to name every episode off the top of my head.
38 episodes, wow.
Something like that. That was it.
Some of the classics only lasted for a few seasons.
And the Flintstones ran September 30, 1960 is when it started. 1960.
You weren't even 1 year old.
And it ran until 66.
So what was first, Cap?
The Honeymooners.
Yeah.
Mellor's right. The Honeymooners.
One of my favorite things to do is go back and check out like YouTube clips of the Flintstones promoting cigarettes, Winston cigarettes.
Yes.
Because it was the main sponsor of their show. So you've got Fred just smoking on a heater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've seen that.
Yeah. That is one of my all-time favorites.
Those two shows were awesome. How about, was there ever a good remake? Ocean's 11?
I think it's the one of one.
Have you seen the original Ocean's 11?
I have. From the 1960s?
I think at the earliest.
Yeah, 1960s.
But the remake with Clooney in them, phenomenal. Anyway, Shot or No Shot is coming up in 2 minutes, and we ask you, please watch us on Twitch. Watch us live. Join the chat. ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv. Sponsored by Pinehurst Resorts. Back in 2 minutes.